I mean, listen, it's a long season, honestly. We played with the right intentions. You know, we missed wide open shot after wide open shot. It's going to happen, you know. So this wasn't one of those games where I thought we just didn't show up and didn't play. I thought we missed a lot of shots. I thought we did get frustrated with the missed shots, especially in the first half. I thought that's what led that last 3 minutes. Guys were hanging their heads with the missed shots because they were layups. They were wide open threes. But for a game, they had 87 points. Mm-hmm. And so if you go and say before the game they were going to score 87 points, you'd probably take it. But from a coaching standpoint, you know, if my guys show up and get good shots and play the right way, I don't have a lot of gripes.
That's the sound of the horn. Welcome to an all-new Clipcast. I'm your host, Chris Wild. With me, as always, is the Jaguar.
Mike Jaglin.
Tough loss last night. We just couldn't find the bottom of the bucket.
We found the three-point line.
We found the three-point line. We just didn't find any three-pointers. You're telling me, Jag, that last night we were three shy of an NBA record for three-point attempts?
Yeah, it was a Clippers franchise record.
Okay, Clippers franchise record.
And three off of the...
Oh, so we set a Clippers franchise record.
Yes, yes.
It was over half their shots.
I know.
That's too many.
That's way too many. And, I mean, Doc and CP kind of shied away saying it's fine.
It was the right guy shooting them. It wasn't like it was Cole Aldrich and DeAndre Jordan shooting threes.
You know, the right guys took them. If Steph Curry has 33-pointers in a game, should he take them? You know, or J.J. Redick or Jamal Crawford or Wes Johnson. I mean, really, when you look at the guys that are taking the threes, it was the right guys in the right spot. We just didn't make any of them.
I'm okay with it because, I mean, they were, like Doc said, a lot of them was wide open. And it was, you know, our three-point shooters. It ain't like, you know, Cole and DJ was out there hoisting threes. So it is what it is.
And Doc said, you know, the penetrators are Chris Paul and Jamal Crawford and Austin Rivers. Austin Rivers is not there. Obviously, Blake Griffin is a penetrator. He's not there.
But the problem was the offense was not there in general. The ball movement was not there.
Offense wasn't there either.
How the heck did we lose that game?
And the funny thing is, the Clippers are basically unbeatable when they hold teams under 100. And they held Denver to 87 points. That was the worst home loss of the season, right?
No, it's the worst home loss since Minnesota.
So the worst home loss in the past 2 weeks.
Exactly.
Here's my problem with the Clippers right now, Jag. You know I love these guys.
Yeah.
I'm going bowling with them this weekend, and I can't wait. And I hope to see a lot of you Clipper Nation members out there at the Clipper Bowling Night. I don't know. There's some sort of cheeky name for it. Clipper Bowl or Bowl-a-thon or Basket Bowl, whatever it is. If you're going to be there, you're going to see me there. You're going to see a couple of my celebrity friends, and you're going to see a bunch of Los Angeles Clippers. But my problem with the Clippers is that we are a good home team and not a great home team. We're a great away team. We are 18-10 on the road. We're a good home team. We're 19-10 at home. The fact that we have 10 losses on the road and 10 losses at home, that's not good enough, Jack.
No, it's not good enough, especially when you're trying to make up ground on OKC.
Which we would have with a win tonight.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
OKC lost 2 out of 3, bud.
There's no reason for this team to be playing this bad at home.
You know what I'm doing, Jack? Usually I schedule a watch for us, and I like hem and haw over what, you know, the week ahead, the 2 weeks ahead, the month ahead. I am schedule watching OKC like a stalker.
And again, their schedule is difficult.
Rough! But they play us twice in a week. They play the champs twice in a week. They have a California Cup back-to-back versus the Clips and then the champs.
And the Clippers play them twice within a week. I mean, and
And the champs play OKC twice within a week.
And you have to remember this. There's still three more matchups with OKC. The last one is on March 31st. So you're going to see OKC three times.
Three more times.
It's unreal. But
so we can make up that ground with some W's. We got to beat them.
We can do a lot of things, Chris.
Dubs will beat the Thunder.
Trump can win president.
No, he can't, Jag.
Okay? There's no way right now that the way this team is giving games away at home that they can catch the Thunder. And the Thunder aren't playing great. That's the thing. But it's just the inconsistency that keeps looming.
Well, you say inconsistency, and I like to point out a stat. Going into that home loss last night, before the loss, talk about consistency, because Doc Rivers, 3 years in a row, the only thing he's delivered for this team is 3 years in a row, 37-19 every single year. How crazy is that stat?
That's insane.
Three for three. I mean, 37-19, that's 18 games over 500. Granted, now we're 37-20. But I'm just such a long-suffering Clipper fan where I'm sitting there watching home games years ago going, well, if we could just get over 500 at home, and then we'll figure out how to win on the road. I mean, we're definitely a winning basketball team.
And the team, actually, they play better, you know, when they have some adversity against them. It's almost like they play down to their competition at times. I mean, Denver was on a back-to-back. You know, this isn't like
it's another a loss. Time.
Yeah.
Where a team comes in.
Again, yeah. Minnesota, the same thing. They lost to the Lakers.
They lost the night before.
Yeah.
And they beat us.
Yep. And that's exactly.
That can't happen.
No, not when you're trying to be a top three team in the West.
And not when you need to be a great home team and not a good one.
No. One of the things, too, that I think we got to look at is, again, Blake is still out. Austin is still out. Still, DJ is killing the boards. He had 10 rebounds for the 14th consecutive game.
He only had two in the first half.
Well, he ended up with more than 10.
He sure did.
And that ties his own record for this season. So only Andre Drummond has more consecutive 10-rebound games.
He had a dozen last night versus Denver. And Denver definitely, unfortunately, out-rebounded us by 10.
They did. And, you know, they got second chance points, and they had those opportunities that just killed the Clippers. And again, it was one of those things that it was like too little too late. The Clips got off to a fast start. Denver responded. Clips came back. Denver took the lead at half. And then it looked like the Clips were going to take control, getting it to 2 points on two separate occasions. Now, one of the guys I had a chance to talk to, new Clipper, Jeff Green.
Three block shots from new guy last night.
Three block shots.
We need to see more minutes from new guy.
And he had a bucket. But he did have that offensive foul late in the game, which was questionable.
Questionable. There was movement from Gallinari. Movement. He was running full force backwards.
By the way, did you see Gallinari's haircut? He's auditioning for the new Mad Max movie?
That's what I said.
Oh, look at that.
He just stepped off Fury Road, it looked like.
So you have he and Fareed. They look like they should be in Fury Road.
And that's a mismatch right there. Manimal versus the great Paul Pierce.
Oh, I know.
Blake's in, and we win that
game. And there was no production from the small forward position at all. Luke, Paul, Jeff.
You know what's funny, Jeff?
And Wes. No production.
The only person who had a positive plus or minus tonight was Luke Mbah-Amute with a plus one.
And he played, what, 20 minutes?
Yeah, 1957.
Yeah. So you look at that, and the reason why you traded for Jeff Green is to get more out of the three. I just feel that he's trying to find his place right now.
Right.
And Doc's trying to figure out how to use him. You heard him say his first go-round, he didn't use him correctly in Boston.
It's such a hot start last night.
Yeah.
It was shot out of the gates.
Against Phoenix.
Come on, we beat Phoenix by 40.
Yeah.
But, unfortunately, in this homestand, Jack, we split it 2-2.
I know.
So, it's not going to cut it.
No, it's not going to cut it. I mean, you're trying to beat a team, you know, that you should beat.
If Jeff Green gets some more minutes, maybe he starts the game, you think we win that game last night?
I don't think it was about Jeff Green. I think it was about the consistency.
The shots especially, just weren't falling.
Especially in the offensive end. I mean, the ball movement was not there. They just chucking too much. I mean,
30 for 85, and 46 of them were from beyond the arc.
Yeah, that's not going to get it done.
All right, so you talked to new guy.
I talked Oprah Jagfrey.
Oprah Jagfrey, one-on-one, Super Soul Sunday in the locker room with the new guy, Jeff Green, who did phenomenally last night in a losing effort with three block shots. He had a lot of, like, dirty, you know, not statistical.
Huge blocks. One those killer blocks one early in transition
beautiful.
And the two in the fourth.
And that questionable offensive foul.
Ugh.
They should have given. I'm sitting there yelling, and one. They almost kicked me out like Austin
and
Rivers.
And he had a lot of chances to, you know, finish at the hole, and he didn't. I mean, again, the Clippers haven't seen an aggressive small forward like this since probably.
He's just going to get more and more gelled.
Yep.
He's just going to get better and better with this squad.
He is.
It's all about squad goals. That's why I'm going to tune into the Clipper Spirit Show on E. That's what they keep talking about. Their squad.
Shameless plug.
Shameless plug for the E! Reality Show. You talk to new guy, Oprah Jagfrey, in the locker room. I can't wait to hear this.
Jeff, Mike Jagelin with Clipcast. Who is Jeff Green?
Quiet guy who just loves basketball, loves to play basketball, and loves to have fun.
You're a big shoe fan, right?
Yeah.
I saw that. Do you have a certain collection?
I mean, being part of Brand Jordan, you get, you know, basically everything, you know, that's produced through the brand. So I've been blessed enough to have a collection through them. And even before them. So, you know, I have a very nice collection of Air Jordans.
What do you do on your downtime? Do you binge watch TV?
Anything? No, I'm not a big binge watcher in TV. I'm a foodie. I love different foods. Movies. I go to movies a lot. And just, you know, especially being in, you know, California and Los Angeles, you know, just, you know, taking in some of the scenery.
You just got here, but what's the first thing you want to do in L.A.?
I already did. I went to In-N-Out.
You went to In-N-Out.
Yeah, but, you know, it's first is to get a win as a Clipper. I did that. So, you know, just now it's just the everyday thing of getting more wins.
How is this being your second time with Doc Rivers?
It's great. It's great to be reunited with him, Paul Pierce. It's great. I think, you know, this time around, you know, we have a chance to go to a championship and win it. So I think we'll do that.
What have you learned about yourself throughout your stops as a person and as a player?
Throughout my stops?
Yeah.
I mean, like through
Boston,
teams?
Yeah.
You know, I'm a guy who can adapt to any situation, you know, and still go out there and play hard and produce. And you know, I think I've done that and improved that.
You have to feel, though, like having a point guard like CP and when Blake gets back and all the surrounding pieces that they want to run, and it kind of plays to your game, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I'm looking forward to the opportunity and the continued progress of getting better, you know, and learning the schemes and playing with these guys.
But it has to be better knowing Doc and knowing the system to be able to fit in, correct?
Yeah, it was an easier shift as far as, you know, learning the transition of, you know, what's expected. Being on the dock once, I already know how he wants his guys to play. So, knowing that aspect of things, you know, it kind of worked out well that I didn't have to relearn everything again.
And what's your key during the stretch run? Just fitting in, or do you want to crack the starting lineup?
I just play my game. No matter if I'm coming off the bench or starting, I just want to, you know, be able to produce to help the team win.
Well, you're going
to
make a difference, Jeff.
That interview made me hungry, Jagpro. Jagpro win Jagfree. It's Oprah Jagfree, right?
Oprah Jagfree. Yeah, okay. Get it right. You're the one that gave me that nickname.
I need to get it right. You know what I need to do is go get a double-double right now after that interview.
I'm like Jeff Green.
I love that. That's what guys did. Like Adele the other night, like she sang at the Grammys, whatever, and the mics were off. Like a microphone fell and like was in the piano, like string. So it was like really janky sound, and she tweeted, she's like, oh well, going to In-N-Out, so all's good.
Oh boy.
So Adele and Jeff Green are going to In-N-Out. They're like In-N-Out dates.
She said hello to the drive-thru.
Yeah, she said, is it the double double you're looking for?
Yes. Wow, maybe, that was good.
I think that was technically a Lionel Richie joke. All right, so you talk to new guy, obviously happy to be back with Doc. Obviously Doc's happy that new guy Jeff Green is back with him. Do you think this is a better fit for the Clippers than, say, when Big Baby joined?
Yes, because it's a need. I mean, Big Baby was, you know, he was in need at the time, but
sort of.
Team has needed a small forward, especially a guy that can play the three and the four consistently for a long time.
Right.
And, you know, we've seen flashes. He was thrown into the Golden State game. You know, he had some ISOs that he probably forced a little too much. But then against Phoenix, you saw what he could do. And again, he didn't finish in the Denver game, but he showed what he could do on the defensive end, and he did get a couple buckets. I feel that, again, for this team to contend with Golden State in a 7-game series, you have to see major minutes from Jeff Green.
Sure.
Especially to stop the Draymond Green.
And if we get that 3 slot, which you know I'm after,
you're after
meet him in the Western Conference Finals, not in the second round.
Well, it's probably going to be that 4. But Jeff Green,
I don't know,
again,
Jack.
Again, a lot of people.
Oklahoma City has a tough schedule.
So do the Clippers. March is brutal. And what if CP is banged up? What if we have to rest CP? That's the other thing, too.
We did see him iced up with the arm.
Pablo picked up 5 fouls
right
against Denver.
But Austin's coming back soon.
He should be a couple weeks, probably.
Who do you think we get first? Austin Rivers, Blake Griffin, or Clippers mascot? Who will suit up first?
I'm going to go Austin.
I'm going to go mascot.
I'm going Austin.
I'm saying mascot.
I'm going Austin.
Should we talk about what we think the mascot will be?
No, because we have no clue yet. Maybe the next cast.
Next cast?
Yeah,
next cast. Clipper mascot speculations, or as I like to call them, mascalations. Mascalations.
Mascalations. On the...
When the mascot arrives, I will wear a Clippers ascot and meet the Clippers mascot.
I like it. And interview the mascot.
Yeah, but the mascots don't speak.
Or do they?
We don't know.
We have no clue.
What if it's a parrot, like a pirate parrot? Clipcast!
Yeah. What if it's the captain of a ship?
Polly want a clipper!
Exactly.
No, no, stop. Stop with these mascalations. These are mascot speculations.
Are you masculating me?
You're emasculating me right now.
Yes, you are. Jeez. But, again, is Chris Paul dinged up? They didn't really say.
He didn't play big minutes versus Phoenix when we whooped him and won by 40.
No, and against Golden State, he played less than Steph, Draymond, and Klay.
Right.
I mean, granted, they pulled everyone in that, but, you know, he had some type of forearm injury.
Right.
I caught an elbow to my forearm, but I'm all right.
And what, his calf tightened
calf
up?
Calf tightened up.
I'm good. You know, I come in tomorrow like every other day, get treatment. And be ready for Friday. You know, it's a tough loss. Got to give them a lot of credit for playing hard, but at the same time, we got to win games like this. I came out before the game started and said we got to bring our own energy. You know, it was kind of flat in there, kind of dead tonight, but these type games, like Doc said, we got to win.
So you got to keep CP in line.
So talk to me, Jag. He's got a day off today, right? When does he go up to Sacramento? Friday?
Friday.
And Saturday he's bowling with me. You know he's going
to... He has his own bowling team.
He already bowled just the other night.
Oh, he's going to... Yeah, and he, I mean, he...
He loves bowling.
He has his own bowling team.
But if he's iced
up... In the professional bowling league.
If he's iced up on his arm... That was his right arm that was iced up tonight.
Yeah.
I'll be looking on Saturday, and if he's bowling with that right arm, I'll be like, you stop that bowling with that right arm!
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You send Chris Jr. up there!
Chris Jr. should be taking those.
Duck pin bowling with the bumpers.
Exactly.
My son versus Chris Jr. playing for keeps.
Playing for keeps.
For pink slips.
Now, Chris.
Of their power wheels.
Now, Chris, you know, in the world of the NBA right now, we have this, you know, I don't want to call it spiritual, X-File-ish, ghostly.
The truth is out there. And Special Agent Fox Jaglin did some digging. See, I didn't know that the Kyrie Irving story.
The Sherman Hotel in OKC.
But
yes.
I didn't realize that it had to do with the spooks and the specters and the ghosties and the goblins.
The Chicago Bulls had an incident there
right.
A few years back. They blamed their loss to OKC because of the hotel.
Cavs blamed their loss to the hotel because the hotel supposedly gave Kyrie Irving bed bugs.
The Cavs won that game. But Kyrie took himself out of the game.
Oh, okay. The Cavs lost in Detroit the next night.
They lost at home against Detroit the next night.
Exactly.
Because of the spooks.
Because of the hotel.
Yes, yes, yes. Because of the hotel.
Because of the haunted bedbugs.
So Kyrie basically starts the game, then takes himself out. People think it's the flu. And it ends up being bedbugs from this hotel, the Skirvin Hotel in OKC, which is a part of a giant chain, but I won't name names.
Okay.
And
what's the name of the hotel?
Skirvin.
Skirvin.
Yeah.
Now usually, Jack, I ain't scurred. Yeah, well, but I'm a little scurred right now, Skirvin. Okay.
So
good night, sleep tight, and he let the bedbugs bite?
Exactly.
You're supposed to not let the bedbugs bite, Kyrie Irving.
So
what does that have to do with our sweet, sweet Clippers?
What does that well, one of the Clippers,
what?
Wes Johnson.
What?
When he played for the Phoenix Suns.
Oh, I'm so scurred.
Had his own experience at the
Skirvin Hotel.
Exactly, in OKC.
I literally, if you are with children, if you're with young children, get them out of the room, turn the podcast off.
Poltergeist, X-Files.
This is spooky, spooky stuff.
Casper the Ghost.
The truth, he's not friendly over at the Skirvin.
No.
He's Casper the Mean Ghost.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, look.
Wes.
Let's listen.
So, Wes, as you know what happened at the Skirvin Hotel, what happened in your experience?
No, there's a lot of different weird noises you hear, but other than that, pretty much not too much anything. I mean, hopefully nothing occur whenever we go out that way. But my whole career, nothing really has happened that's been really noticeable for me to comment on.
Did you wake up and the tub was filled with water?
That did happen. Yeah, that tub was filled. That was crazy, honestly. I didn't try not to really overthink too much in it, but it did. I went to sleep, woke up, and then my whole tub was full. It was like, it was, and that was crazy. That was crazy.
Now, before you went to bed, did you, like, take a shower?
I did, but it wasn't, the drain wasn't open, so all the water went out. So that was the thing. So then when I woke up that morning, it was filled.
Is it kind of like an NBA camp story about this place?
Yeah, it's crazy. Everybody has different stories. Everybody has different experiences when they go there. But it was definitely weird.
That's the weird thing is I was doing so much research on this, and it's just, it's one of those odd places that, you know, and it's a name hotel.
Yeah, everybody stays there. Everybody. So I'm thinking why they haven't built another one. Why can't nobody move to a different one?
So you're not scurred at the Skirvin anymore?
No, not no more. I hope nothing occurred when we get there, like I said, but no, I'm not.
Do you believe in ghosts, like, after that?
I mean, it makes you kind of worry about it, but yeah, I did before, so now it's like, okay.
I mean, you're going there to play basketball. You're not worried about that.
Yeah, we're not trying to think about nothing else but play ball, but when you're there, stuff happens, so.
Well, next time, call the Ghostbusters, right?
Right.
Terrifying. He didn't hear drips in the night.
You just wake up.
I'm like, I got a little spooked out that, like, he was gonna, like, wake up and, like, the tub was gonna be filled with blood or something.
Could have been.
Maybe that's, like, what he's not telling us.
Well,
but who lies to Oprah Jagfrey?
And who makes up a story that?
Oh, it's totally
freaking.
It's fact.
Tub is
fact.
Filled.
I had a haunted hotel experience.
I mean, Bill Simmons wrote about it. I mean, the Spurs won't stay there.
I hear the new all-lady Ghostbusters takes place at the Skirvin.
It should.
I heard they were initially going to call it Skirvbusters.
Oh.
But I did have a haunted hotel. The most haunted hotel in Southern California is the Hotel del Coronado in San Diego on Coronado Island. And it's this old wooden structure. It's the biggest wooden structure west of the Mississippi. It's this old hotel. Presidents have stayed there. Kings, queens, Marilyn Monroe. Like, it's just this crazy old hotel right on the beach. And the first night I stayed there, this is how long ago it was. I was on my BlackBerry. Remember those things? I'm on my BlackBerry looking up, like, the ghost of the Hotel Del.
This is 2006?
Years ago. And I'm like, I literally start freaking myself out. And all of a sudden, I can't sleep. I wake up my wife. I'm like, wake up. I scared myself. She's like, you're an idiot. Would you just go to bed? So I finally fall asleep, whatever. But I scare myself silly. A year later, we end up staying in the ghost's room. Now, the first year I was there...
How do you know it was a ghost room?
Because it's fact. There's two rooms. They split. There was one big suite that they split into two bigger rooms. And we stayed...
They split the ghost up?
They split the ghost up! So we stayed in one of the two ghost rooms. I slept like a baby, Jack! The night that I stayed on the other side of the hotel in the newer wing, I scared myself. I couldn't go to sleep. I woke up, it's sweating.
You were scared.
I was scared! I was staying at the Hotel del Skirvinado! And then we stay in the ghost room with, like, literally, like, my wife is, like, you know, me and this buddy of mine, we're surfing in the beach. His wife and my wife are in the room with our babies, whatever. We come back and they go, oh, and they're like, we had a ghost story. I'm like, come on, you didn't have a ghost story. Stop, you didn't have a ghost story. And they're like, no, I swear. There was this bang on the door. We look in the peephole, there's nobody. Bang on the door. We open the door, there's nobody in the hall. We're like, what's happening? And I'm like, what, this door? And I open the door. I'm like, there's nobody here. Close the door, bolt it shut, right? And I'm like, you girls are being crazy. Oh, you bunch of silly, scared girls. Us tough men, we're not scared of anything. All of a sudden, the door that I just deadbolted closed starts creaking open. And I literally start screaming, it's a ghost! It's the ghost! Skirvin! Skirvin is here! Skirvin is among us!
That's the thing, too, is like...
This Ouija cast?
All these players and teams. I mean, Jamal, I overheard...
Athletes are the most superstitious guys ever.
I know. I overheard Jamal saying that he was on the team, he was on the Knicks, when Eddie Curry had an experience at the Skirvin Hotel.
Spurs will not stay at the Skirvin Hotel.
No.
Spurs are scurred. The San Antonio
Wes
Spurs.
Wes said it. Why don't you just build a nicer, newer one?
Because it's OKC.
Yeah, they want to spook you out before KD and Westy get you.
It's also only two hotels.
Ah, it could be.
You know? Yeah. Like, Skirvin was probably the first one, and then they built, like, a Westin or something on the other side of town.
But again, like,
we got to ask Blake about Skirvin. He's an OKC guy.
Oh, that's an interesting question.
I know.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'll see him bowling.
Oh, will you?
Yeah.
So you've got bowling.
Saturday.
That's going to be interesting.
I can't wait.
You can't wait.
All the Clippers are going to be there. my buddy Matthew Lillard, who plays Shaggy in Scooby-Doo movies, he'll be there. He knows all about ghosts.
Oh, well, yeah, you can ask him about the supernatural.
Like, Scoob, we gotta stay away from the hotel Skirvin.
Well, getting back to basketball, this is Skirvcast. Yeah, that's Skirvcast.
I had no idea that Kyrie everything was from the other side.
Yes. It's amazing.
So macabre.
It's out there. So the Clippers, the Clippers have signed a new player to a 10-day deal, as we all know that happened over the past weekend.
We lost Lance Stephenson. We picked up Lance Stephenson.
Alex.
Excuse me.
And it's actually Alex is really. Interesting story.
He got interviewed after the Phoenix blowout.
Yeah, well, I mean,
he got his first bucket as an NBA player,
and he played in the Golden State game when they came back.
That's right.
So he's able to just get right into it. But
Stephenson,
this is a guy that is 28 years old, came out in 2008 from USC,
local guy.
Really interesting story, and was in the D League All Star this year and led the D League in rebounding.
Incredible.
Before they picked them up. But it's great to interview someone that truly, truly appreciates where he is and what he's accomplished.
I was watching the guys in the shoot-arounds, and they love this guy.
Oh, no. He's bright as can be. He's got a great personality, and he just wants to take advantage of the opportunity, and you know that he's constantly learning.
Right.
And it was just really great to talk to him. And again, this is a guy that wasn't drafted, found his way in Europe, kind of bounced around, and
becomes a D-League stud. Gets the assignment for his hometown heroes, the LA Clippers.
And that's one of the things I talked to him about too.
And now a big thing, he gets interviewed by Oprah Jagfrey in the locker room. He's arrived.
He was already in LA. All he needed was Jagfrey.
Just keep him out of the Hotel Skirgler or whatever it's called.
Skirvin. Here's
Alex. Skirgler.
Oh, gosh.
Here's Alex Skirgleson. Stephenson.
Alex Stephenson.
So, Alex, honestly, so you grew up a Clipper fan?
Honestly. True story. I was always a Clippers fan. I used to grow up watching Darius Miles and Quinn Richardson do the alien heads. And I remember they drafted Odom McCandy and just stuff like that. I've been a Clippers fan from the good and bad times.
And what made you a Clippers fan?
I think they were just always more exciting than the Lakers to me. You know, they weren't historically as a winning franchise as the Lakers, but, you know, to me they were always very, very entertaining, and I just liked the way they played back then.
Being a basketball player, were there any of those players in specific that you, like, pretended you were in the schoolyard?
Darius Miles. I used to always pretend I was him. A little bit Lamar Odom. Quinn Richardson, too. I was a lot bigger than everybody else trying to be a guard, but, you know, I still tried.
Now, how has this journey been for you? I mean, you graduated in 2008. What has been these last past years like?
It's been up and down. You know, I had a couple good moments in Europe, you know, a couple moments in Europe that were tough. The D League was actually, I think, pretty good for me. You know, I got under Coach Bob Donawald, who kind of helped fine-tune my offense and defense. You know, I went there and worked on the pick and roll defense a lot, worked on my hands and my lateral quickness, and then the mental aspect too, because European basketball and American basketball is a lot different. So I think Coach Bob really prepared me to try to learn how to do the American basketball game, not so much European.
What did you take from the Euro game that kind of helped develop your game in general?
You know, they do a lot. They do a lot of strategizing and reading the game. It's not as much as athletically dependent plays, as much as just, you know, good coaching and skill plays and trying to make the right reads at the right time. I'm not saying the NBA isn't, but I think in Europe the athletes aren't as great, so they have to compensate by being a little bit more strategic in how they find ways to score.
And then this last summer league, you kind of made your mark. You got on the Mavericks team, right? And then ended up getting picked up this camp on with Memphis. What was that like?
It was exciting. You know, I wasn't really sure what to expect. So, you know, I did okay in the summer league, and, you know, didn't really know if teams are really interested in me or what the feedback was. And last minute, I got a call from Memphis saying to come to the training camp and able to do the preseason with them, and that went pretty good. You know, I was able to get a little time at the end and able to produce. And
especially grinding with those guys, right?
Yeah, man. So it was a good experience for me. I learned a lot under Coach Yeager, too, and I got with Zeebo, Gasol, even Ryan Hollins taught me a little bit of stuff. So
Hollins is a great guy.
Yeah, man, great guy, hard worker. You know, taught me a little bit of how to be a professional without having to be a star player, you know what I mean? So just try to absorb as much as I can and carry it over wherever I went.
And you were D-League All-Star. I mean, what was that experience like? Did you think, okay, next step the NBA, or were you just thinking of riding it out?
You know, I was just taking it day by day. The Coach Bob kept saying just to stay positive and just focus on what you can control. You know, all you can worry about is how you're playing and what you're doing on every play. So I tried not to get too ahead of myself and think too much, just play basketball.
And then when the Clippers called, first thoughts?
Back home. Just coming back home and just excited for the opportunity to showcase myself, but also show that I belong and can play at this level.
Yeah, and the thing is like you have to feel happy and confident that you're getting into these games too, right? Correct?
Yeah, you know, I feel good about it. You know, I'm just taking it day by day, just trying to learn as much as I can and absorb any knowledge from the veterans and other players and just doing what I can control.
I love that guy. I hope he gets multiple 10 days. I hope he stays on the roster. I hope he, you know, this is an NBA dream come true. I hope it continues.
It is literally a dream come true. Hometown boy makes good.
Yeah.
You know, you work your entire life to get to where you want to be, and it ends up being your hometown team. You know, not many people. Where's that exec at Disney right now? You know, that's.
Well, talk about Paul Pierce with his homecoming, Inglewood's own Paul Pierce and his homecoming. I saw Paul Pierce and Stephenson, John, you know, yucking it up before the game.
But this is like. You know, Paul Pierce is a Hall of Famer. He's a legend.
But that's what I'm saying.
No, he was you know, a lottery pick, and he was great in college. This is a guy that he was
two opposite ends of the spectrum.
I know. Played at North Carolina, started there, then transferred to SC, and like I said, you know, goes undrafted and just becomes a journeyman, and never stops. And it just shows you in life that you never know. I mean, it could be like two guys like us create Clipcast, and then. You never know what's going to happen.
Sky's the limit for Clipcast.
We could be scurvined.
Don't talk about it.
Okay, we're off of it. But it's just a great story.
It's a great story.
It really is.
I got another Clipcast segment right now. Looking at the week ahead.
Okay.
In a segment we call Clip Ahead.
We're clipping ahead?
We're clipping ahead.
Yep.
And the Clipper week ahead.
And one of the things we love to do with this is we always like to come back the next week and see how we do.
Right.
So let's just clip ahead.
Okay. Because last week we were 1-2.
1-2.
Not good enough. After that great W versus San Antonio.
We faltered with the champs
with the miracle comeback in the final minute. And I love Doc keeping the bench in with the hot hands. CJ Wilcox had like 1.5, 2 more seconds to play with that clock to possibly tie it up.
He did. He forced it. He did.
However, we only lose by 3. It doesn't matter. An L's an L. Now we're 0-3 versus the champs. Got one more shot at them.
Haven't beat the champs, by the way, since Christmas Day of 2014.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of 2015. Now we're here. We are in 2016. Yep. We still haven't beat them.
Mm-mm.
Now, when we played them in the playoffs, who won? Was it the champs?
We didn't play them in the playoffs.
No. We played them in the playoffs. I think we went 2 years ago.
Yeah.
We did.
Beat them then. Yeah. We didn't play them last year. Last year was a 3-1. We don't want to talk about that.
We didn't play the Warriors last year. No. We would have beat them because we always beat the Warriors in the playoffs,
yes.
From my recollection.
Well, again, who are the last two teams the Clippers have beaten in the playoffs?
The last two NBA champs.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so looking at the week ahead, the clip ahead. Friday night, go to our state's capital, keep it in California.
Last game there.
Oh.
The Clippers' last game in the Cal Palace.
What's that place called?
Cal Palace?
Isn't it Sleep Train Arena?
Sleep Train Arena. Yeah, it used to be the Cal Palace.
Right. So we're going to put him to sleep at Sleep Train.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's honestly a must win.
Oh, you have to win.
I mean, this game scared me to begin with because playing
Sacramento. You were scared?
I mean, yes, I was scared.
I ain't scared about Sacramento.
Sacramento snapped the winning streak.
That's right.
Snapped the winning streak. Granted, DJ didn't play in that one.
No, he didn't.
But this is a game that the Clip need to win.
Must win.
Yeah.
Then another must win versus one of the junkier teams in the NBA.
The Nets.
Third worst team in the league.
And by the way, Clipper fans, if the Clippers, here's a positive thing about finishing four and possibly behind, six worst in the six
behind
worst
behind Cleveland and behind Toronto.
Yep.
So sixth best in the NBA. Then that actually is a positive
the
for
Clippers
us.
Would get New Jersey's second round pick. So
you
the
mean
Clippers,
Brooklyn.
Excuse me.
You're old school.
Oh, my
gosh. You got your BlackBerry out.
I've got my BlackBerry. I've got my J-Kid jersey on.
Yeah, I've got my Drazen Petrovic jersey.
Kenny Anderson?
If I've got my Buck Williams jersey, Jag, okay?
Oh, wow. Well, now we're really throwing them out.
If the Clips finish outside of the top five in the league,
mm-hmm.
they get the Nets this summer.
The second round pick.
Which will be a good one.
Yes. So that's a positive.
Sure, because we don't have many picks.
No.
No, we don't.
They're tied up. They're really tied up. So that is a positive. But Brooklyn's
another
a team.
Another must win, and we will win.
It's a game, it should be very similar to Phoenix. But again, Denver was a 10-point spread.
Right.
They were favored by, I think, 10.5 against
Denver.
You know
what's Denver. Crazy, Jag, is, like I said earlier in the show, 18-10 on the road, 19-10 at home. So we go up to Sacramento, we get a win. We're 19-10 on the road. 19-10 at home. We have to do better at home.
I know.
And then Wednesday night, when we get together in Clipcast again versus OKC.
Yeah,
who then travel up north the very next night to Golden State. Have to play the champs. That's a very tough 24 hours that could really turn the tide for these Los Angeles Clippers. You know what I'd rather do, Jag? Get that three slot, finish in the top five in the league, and not get Brooklyn Nets' second round pick in the summer.
And they have the Saturday night showcase, as you mentioned earlier, against the Dubs on Saturday.
OKC.
Yeah. But that, Clips. That will be home. No, OKC, yes.
That's a week later, though.
No, this coming Saturday.
Oh, okay. Okay. This yeah. coming Saturday is in OKC.
Yep.
Dubs go to OKC. Then 5 days later, they go up to Oakland.
Yeah. Thursday for the
TNT. Golly, am I going to be really rooting for Oakland? Two games this week?
Could
we kind of have to, right?
If you want the three.
I do want the three.
You want dreams of the three. I mean, again, it's...
Because OKC is nowhere near the Spurs.
No.
Seven games.
And what Memphis is...
3.5.
3.5.
Yeah.
And it's like a giant log jam right behind Memphis, too.
Right.
I mean, it's a
Portland's
mess.
Been playing out of their heads, but they've got a really tough schedule coming up.
Portland's been playing well. Dallas, again, is playing like they're a 2008 All-Star team.
Right. With they all have Blackberries.
They do, actually. Cuban probably still has the same plan.
So we heard from Oprah, Jagfrey, and Stephenson. We're taking a look at the clip ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Friday night at Sacramento, which is nice. Yes, obviously they get to bowl with me. Laughter is the best medicine. They'll feel good after that win in Sacramento and our state's capital. They got Saturday and Sunday off, 2 days off. Monday, home game versus Brooklyn, must win. We will win. Tuesday and then Wednesday, a big, big, big game. OKC, we play them twice in a week. So you want to put on your...
What do I think they're going to do for the week?
In your crystal ball?
You want all three games or just for the week?
That is the week, all three games.
Dude, like, do you want me to say Sacramento, Brooklyn, OKC?
Just do whatever you want, Jack. It's your show.
2-1.
2-1?
2-1.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going 2-1. Well, I don't know where they stub their toe. Either they stub their toe in Sacramento or they stub their toe against OKC.
Well,
but I
don't even need to look at my crystal ball.
Because...
My Magic 8 Ball always says outlook looks good.
And you
outlook good.
You also predicted the 82-0 season.
You know what I need to predict is 37-19. Because yeah. Doc Rivers has delivered 37-19 3 years in a row.
We should go to Vegas next year.
37-19.
Yeah, go to the books and be like,
37-19.
Where's the over under
on the 37-19?
Because we're taking that. So what are you going to take? You're taking
I want to bet $37.19 on 37-19.
Actually, more than that. But
this is not GambleCast.
But somehow.
I think we do go 3-0, honestly. And I know, obviously, have my Clipper red rose-colored glasses on. But we're going to rally after losing last night versus Denver. After losing versus the champs, we've basically lost 2 out of 3, right?
Uh-huh.
We've won 2 out of 4 since the All-Star break. We beat one of the elites in San Antonio. We're going to get that mojo back. We're going to beat Sacramento. We're going to have 2 days off. We're all going to do some team bonding with stars and fans on Saturday at the Clipper Bowling Bolatron in Norwalk, wherever that is. And then we're going to beat Brooklyn, obviously. We're going to use all that momentum, store it up, which I'm guessing is a national game on Wednesday night.
Yes, it is.
OKC comes to town. Revenge, because we should have beat them, and the refs took it away from us last time, weeks ago. So I like us 3-0. I'll take 2-1.
I'm going 2-1. I think it's going to be.
I just want to beat OKC.
The weird thing about this matchup against OKC is, like, the Clippers have 2 home games against them before even going to OKC.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah, it's kind of wonky.
Yeah,
you know, typically it doesn't max out like that, but whatever. I'm thinking 2-1. I just feel that the way this team is playing right now,
they're banged up a little.
They're banged up. They're good.
They're not at a full roster, but, like, Jeff Green's getting better and better. He's getting more and more minutes.
When will Jeff Green start, do we think?
That's a real good over-under.
That's a question for the Clipper fans.
When will Jeff Green get the start? Will it be at the 3? Will it be at the 4?
What will it be at?
And when?
And you know what we did not do this cast? Our top 10s. Top 10 post-2000s.
We should save that.
We will save that.
So I met number 10.
I know you did.
I met Cherokee Parks.
You can't tell them.
I tweeted it.
I know, but you know.
Spoiler alert. My 10th favorite Clipper of the 21st century is Cherokee Parks. And I met him in the 40-point blowout. And my mother got on Jumbotron.
And, I mean, plenty of fans have actually tweeted their list, too, which is great. So fans
keep tweeting them, and we'll read your lists.
Yeah, we'll read all the lists. It'll be a list-a-thon. And but the other question again, when will Jeff Green start?
And what position will he play?
Yes. Will he take Luke's spot or Paul Pierce's spot? So let us know. So is it time?
I think we should sound the horn.
All right. Are you scared?
I ain't scared, but I'm not staying at that hotel.
All right.
Skirgle?
The Skirvin.
The Skirdner?
The Skirvin.
The Skirvin.
The Snooman is now.
The Skirvin.
Yes.
Skirvin.